Basic Bananas.
Hey there, folks. This is Christo here. Welcome back to the Basic Bananas Small Business Marketing Show. And today I have a very special episode. We're going to be talking about branding and brand positioning. And I have a guest on the call who you might not have heard from yet, or we haven't heard from yet on the podcast. However, you might have seen him in a couple of our videos. I have Eric Hadashet. Eric, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And I said your name close to accurate, didn't I? The Hadashet. I got there.
Yeah, close. It doesn't end with the shit part. It's I've been called worse things. So I'm totally down. Yeah.
So. So for you guys, the listeners, Eric is actually part of Basic Bananas and the team. He's heading up Basic Bananas in Canada. So he's the man. He is kingpin boss man of Basic Bananas Canada. And we've got a bunch of workshops coming up over in Canada. And we've been having a chat and chatting about branding and positioning and so on. And thought it'd make for a really good episode to share with you guys a bunch of tips and a couple of examples around brand and around positioning, because it is such a big topic and such a big thing, not just to make you kind of stand out in the marketplace, but also to allow people to justify paying you different amounts of money. Is this all comes back to your kind of brand positioning. And so, you know, whether you're going to charge $1,000 or you're going to charge $100, and why people will pay more for some products and not, and, you know, why some pop out and so on. Maybe, so that the guys know a little bit about you, Mr. Eric, do you want to tell us a bit about your kind of background, what got you into business? What got you, you know, motivated to assist helping small business owners? What's your story, mate?
Yeah, so good question. My family is a family that's got a background of entrepreneurialism, I suppose you could say. I have on both sides of my mom and dad's side. My grandfathers were both entrepreneurs, and then my father was an entrepreneur. And I grew up on a wilderness resort in Canada, actually. And we bought that land, that piece of property, and developed it into the resort that it is today. And so I grew up in an environment with my parents running a small business, running that resort, and dealing with all the factors that are involved with that. Everything from watching mom answer the emails and then interacting with guests that came in. But then on the physical side of things, making sure that, you know, everything worked, that in our case, that the cabins were clean and wood was chopped and all those things were taken care of for the customers. But then on top of that, adding all those extra little factors that make you stand out as a business, and watching my parents go through that whole process. And so I've always been interested in entrepreneurialism and small business. After growing up on that resort, I went into business at UBC and studied management and then also marketing psychology, and graduated from there. And then while I was in university as well, I also ran a small business in university, a painting company, which I'll probably talk about a little bit later. And then I went back and took a few things I'd learned and grew the resort pretty exponentially for my parents for a few years. And then after that, I went and started an online company. So I've kind of had the full spectrum of working with small physical businesses and then also doing the online thing and understanding the online marketing aspect of things. And the reason that I'm working with Basic Bananas now, coming back to working and interacting with small business owners, is just because I understand what it's like to have a family and run a small business at the same time. And I understand the stresses that go behind that. I grew up in that environment, and I understand that it doesn't always have to be like that. There's a lot of stresses that can be involved with small business because a small business owner just doesn't know what their options are or what they can do about things. And then once they learn those little hacks in business, it can make life a whole lot funner for everyone, not only them, but the family around them, their employees. And it just makes a much better environment for everyone involved. And I just don't see any reason why that knowledge should be held back. I think everyone should know those things and create those positive environments. And so that's why I'm stoked to work with small businesses, because they're the ones that are able to take action and make things happen when they learn these things. And that's why I'm excited to work with Basic Bananas and do the workshops and foster that positive environment.
Super cool. Super. It's kind of like, I guess you're not going to get much of a closer hands-on look at the business, you know, as you did with when you're actually living in the business, like living in the, you know, in the wilderness retreat. You'll be seeing it day in, day out, and seeing exactly what you've just mentioned, like seeing the impact that it has when things are up. You know, it's like a direct impact on the family and the life, and then compared to when things are down, you know, if things are battling, makes a huge difference. That's one of the things we always, even at Basic Bananas, you know, and you're very aware of this, but just to share with the listeners, we always, everything we're doing is about, you know, transform. I like to say we're in the business of transforming people's lives, and it might sound a little bit cheesy and a little bit weird, but it works for me, so don't spoil my dream. But it's basically because the impact that we see, our skill, our expertise is marketing, which, you know, feeds a business. When a business thrives, well, then we see people's lifestyles thrive and that flow-on effect happens. And we share, like, every Friday at our team meetings, we share, like, the customer loving photo, like all the love notes we've got throughout that week. And it's very motivating. It's very cool. And I totally agree. It's about that, you know, the ripple effect and the flow-on, and the, you know, people can make a real difference. Even you help one business, they can make a big impact in their whole community. And in their whole family, you know, it's pretty awesome. And real people that actually appreciate it rather than big corporates that just want more.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Cause you start working with small business owners and you get those personal connections, whether they come to you directly or even just send an email or whatever. That's amazing. Cause you know, you've had an impact on their lives, where exactly like you said, transversely working with some of the bigger corporates, it's just like, okay, great, because we added a little bit of profit, but it doesn't change lives necessarily. And when you work with small businesses, it does, and it's amazing to see that. So
awesome, cool. Well, let's rip into a few things. Let's look at a bit of an example going on here. I've got a couple of ideas of things I want to share on today's episode as to just maybe a couple of points on pricing and things to make you talk aboutable, like make a business kind of pop and be newsworthy. But you had a bit of a story there too about the, you know, back in the painting days, back in the day. Would you like to share that and give us a bit of an insight onto just an example of how, you know, the whole kind of, I guess, positioning of the brand and what happened there? Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so I don't want to draw this into too long a story, so I'll try and make the keynote version here. But essentially what happened was I thought to myself in university, you know, I'd like to make a little money on the side. In the summer, I had been working jobs up north. I'd been logging, and I'd worked in the oil sands in Canada. People in Canada will be familiar with what that's all about, you mining oil out of the ground. And I'd made a pretty decent amount of money. I still had money left over from that. And I thought, you know, if I've got this money, I'd like to put it into a business and see how that goes. So that's kind of what I did. I took some of that money and I decided to start a exterior home improvement company. So I decided I was going to be the go-to guy for anything exterior on your home.
And nice. Anything and everything.
Escaping, laying concrete foundation. Carpentry, I did. I mean, I had the skills, but I just, like, I was doing everything, and I advertised everything. I had a list a mile long of all the things I did. And I went door to door and hung flyers and did all that stuff. And I got very few calls because, people just saw this and they're like, well, how do we know that he knows how to do any of these things? What I did get, I managed to get one decent painting job out of like all the flyers and effort. I spent weeks and weeks putting flyers and cards and doing the whole typical entrepreneurial story of like spending all your focus on business cards and flyers and like what your logo is going to look like and all that stuff. And then went out and tried to promote it and didn't get a lot accomplished that way. But I did get one painting job out of it. And then I thought, you know, the painting thing's pretty easy. It's for me, at least anyway, it was easy and fairly lucrative. And I thought, well, maybe I should not focus on this list of 1,000 things. Maybe I should just focus on this one thing, on the painting thing. And so I focused a little bit on painting for the rest of that summer. And I thought, yeah, maybe I can run this as a painting company. But by the end of the summer, I'd only broken even. And I thought, you know, there's got to be, by the time I'd spent all my money on equipment and resources and all that. I'd really just broken even. And then the following year, I met up with reps from a company here in Canada or North America called College Pro Painters. And College Pro has a very interesting, at least it did when I did it, had a very interesting format. They recruit young college kids, and they're really an entrepreneurial training ground more than they are a painting company. Because their prerogative at the time was to train young college students to run successful businesses, and then they would pick the cream of the crop from the college students that were running those painting companies, and they would offer them positions in other franchises that they owned. And they owned a number of franchises in North America, and they'd pick out these key performers and plant them into their other franchises. So cool. I got involved with that program, and it was actually an excellent program for teaching an individual how to run a small business. And so I'd taken a little bit what I'd learned the previous summer with painting, and then College Pro taught me a bunch about not only painting, but quite a bit more about business, how to perform quotes and all that stuff. And I started looking at just doing painting, exterior painting. And starting off that summer with exterior painting, I did something similar to that I did the year before. And I just said, you know what, we're going to do exterior painting, and we focus on anything and everything. We do exterior painting. And in the beginning, it was actually a bit of a struggle to get jobs. We were new in the area that we were in. Nobody had heard of College Pro before. And it was, again, just a lot of door-to-door. And we were getting jobs. We were getting more jobs booked with some of the techniques that College Pro had taught. However, we didn't really stand out for anything. And fairly early into the painting year, I kind of started figuring out. I'm like, there's jobs here that make pretty good money, and then there's jobs that don't make a ton of money. And the jobs that I found that made really good money were spraying. Here in Canada, we have houses called stucco houses. I don't know if you guys have that in Australia. You typically have more brick and such, but over here you'll do a wood construction, and then there's like a plaster that you put on the outside that we call stucco.
I don't know if we call them that, but anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was finding that those jobs were a lot more lucrative, those stucco jobs.
Yeah.
So then I began saying, you know what, forget all these other types of houses, whether they be brick or stone or a lot of wood-sided houses. We're not going to focus on any of that anymore. The lucrative jobs are in these stucco houses, because you had to spray a specific way to make sure you covered everything. So I started focusing just on that. And then out of that, pretty quickly as well, we started finding that the owners of those stucco homes, we had to dig as to what their biggest concern was, why they were getting their homes painted, which surprisingly, a lot of painters that had been doing it for 20 years in the area never bothered to ask those customers. And what we found was that the owners, they were never concerned, because the stucco homes, the color doesn't really wear. The reason that they get their homes painted more so is because they're trying to keep water from getting into the stucco, because here in Canada, it'll seep into the stucco, and then the winter it freezes and it can crack. So their biggest concern was making sure that they had a watertight seal on the house.
Mm.
So what I did at that point was say, if that's their biggest concern, and that was kind of the topic that was coming up again and again, maybe paint is not the best solution. Maybe I need to go out and find a different product and just add it to the product line to begin with, and then go from there. So what I went is I went out and found a product that they called an elastomeric, which was, it was more of like a, it's closer to a rubber than it is a paint. And I just put that in the product line and put that as a premium product and said, we can paint your house, or we can do a full stucco protective coating. And then I was finding that the owners, almost 80 to 90% of the owners were saying, well, I want that protective coating. And it cost way more. It cost like double what the other product cost to Nice. get it sprayed, because there was virtually nobody was actually doing it. But we got known for that. We got known for putting these protective coatings on the houses. And then that was all we advertised as. I changed my copy.
Awesome.
And for those of you listening, like, that's your sales letters and everything. Your changed text. The copy from saying that we were a painting company to a strictly a stucco or a protective stucco coating company. And we didn't even use the words painting at all. And our sales went up. and our referrals went way up. And awesome. I'm struggling to sell jobs at the beginning of the summer to, by the end of the summer, having more referrals coming in than I could actually feel that I could actually paint houses. So yeah, just figuring out quickly that we needed to reposition the whole company to what the market demand was and actually, you know, probing customers to find out what it is that they really wanted and what their concerns were and making sure we were addressing those. And there was a number of other things that had us stand out as well in a management perspective, but I'd say that was kind of the biggest thing was the product change and how we approached what we were doing just by probing into the customer's concerns.
Probing, hopefully you're probing them in a nice way. Love probing customers, don't we? very cool. It's a really cool example. There's a lot of key little things that I was picking up on it, you know, throughout that story as well, which hopefully for the listeners have picked up on. Just like a couple of things, like the first one big fault that we see often is people advertising too many things. You know, like you've said, the very first offering when you were doing it on your own, trying to say that you're the jack of all trades. Yeah. It's kind of like when, as you know, us as marketers, we always see this, and this is a perfect example illustrating this, that, you know, you say you do 10 things, people hear nothing. You say you do one thing, like the stucco, you know, the sealing, the coating, the protective coatings that seal, and they remember it, and they refer you, and they can refer you to friends. Whether that is a service business, as Eric, your example, or it could be a product as well, because sometimes people become known for special products they sell. So that was a really cool example. And then I love the fact, can I ask you a question? Did the paint, you know, did the sealant, obviously the sealant was doing a bit of a better job than just the paint, or would the paint do the sealing job was it just as good anyway? Was it more just like the...
No, it wasn't. Like I would never sell a product to a customer if I honestly didn't think it would do a much better job. So the difference was that the protectant, the coating was quite a bit thicker, so it would fill in. So if you did have any cracks in your house, it would fill those cracks in, whereas the paint wouldn't. So it would actually seal off any problem areas, whereas the paint wouldn't do that same job. So
gotcha, yeah, perfect.
It was a different product.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to just clarify that too, because for you guys, the listeners, sometimes you might be selling the same thing as what you've sold in the past. Like obviously Eric's switched the products here, which has been very clever because it's based on what, you know, what the main problem. So one of the other key things which he mentioned in there was, you know, digging around for what are their problems. The real reason they're buying the thing is to seal it, then repositioning the whole business as a result is really smart. However, sometimes too, you might still be providing a similar product, and how you position yourself will define, you know, whether you charge more, whether you're more desirable in the market as well. Like just as an example, you know, it could be exactly the same product. Like it could be an accountant, as an example, who sells the accounting and getting the, you know, the tax in on time, whereas it could be an accountant who selling you your time back, or selling you strategic business advice as part of the package. So you might look at that, and if you're in the market for strategic business advice, you suddenly see, oh wow, that accountant provides that. I will go to them. Now they might just tack that on as an extra as well, and suddenly they've got this extra thing on top. Or it could be something like for example, we sell you back your time. If we use that example, if that connects inside people's heads and they think, okay, well, you know, I want my time back and I'm sick of doing this stupid book work at the end of every day. If that accountant is going to sell me my time back, well, I'll pay more for them. They'll look more desirable. I want to work with them. However, the actual thing that they provide might still be the same as every other accountant that says that, you know, we'll do your tax preparation. So something to think about there for all of you, because you can position one of the things that we want to be very aware of is we need to position our products and services to what the market wants. I think is a massive takeout from this one. It's not just what you want to talk about or what the actual product is a lot of the time. It's all that's really important, most relevant is what they want, because that's what's going to get their attention. Everybody wants to know what's in it for them, right? It's like, you know, what's in it for me? It's a very cool example. Were you done there on that example, or have I cut you off?
No, I think, I mean, that was pretty much it. It's like, especially on the product and the way that we sold it, as far as the copy went, that that's kind of the end of the example. I think the other small tidbit that I'll throw in there is that I think it's important, if you're going to have your unique factor, it's good to have kind of at least two unique factors that set you apart. Because if you have just the one, it's easy enough for somebody to copy that. But if you have a couple, then it really sets you apart, and it's hard to have people come and copy you. And just really briefly, the other way that we were unique was part of the management style, and it was the way that I paid the employees. I paid them for the hours that were done on the, or I basically quoted the hours for the job. And I would tell my employees, once you finish this job, or the hours for the set hours for the week, then you can have the rest of the week off. So what ended up happening was my painters would be on site at 6:30 in the morning, and they would paint until 8 o'clock at night sometimes. And the customers actually liked that. They liked that they saw these painters that were super dedicated to getting the job done. There was a lot of other factors in there to make sure they got the job done right in terms of rating cards and bonuses and all that. But it allowed the painters to be happy, because the painters would work their asses off the first 4 days of the week to make sure they got all the hours in, and then they would have a 3-day weekend. So the painters were happy and the customers were happy because the jobs got done generally a day faster than they thought they would. And it was done really well, and they saw that the team was dedicated. And that stood out, because in our market, at least, a lot of the other trades guys, a lot of the other painting companies that were out there they've been doing it for years, and they would take hour long breaks like twice a day and laze around, and the customers weren't super stoked on the work at. So, yeah. So there's a couple of factors that played into, I think, our success, but I think the main thing is just making sure that you do have a couple of unique points that set you apart.
Yes, absolutely. Very cool. Yeah. It's cool. So I think for the listeners, there's some really good takeouts on here. So a couple of things to think about, you might want to turn this into for yourself, is getting very clear on what are the customer's actual wants and problems and so on. And then, so that's phase one or exercise one for you to do, so that you message your marketing to exactly what they want. And maybe even it can sometimes mean adjusting your offerings and adjusting your positioning. And then this second part is creating these unique points of difference to make you talk aboutable. So sometimes these things will come up as well as a result of speaking to your clients and your prospects, because, you know, let's say Eric, if he asked them and said, look, what don't you like about, you know, painters or getting a job done? Well, you know, the time it takes, and I want the thing done, you know, yesterday. Well, then he's come up with a brilliant solution for it there, which will make him pop and make him different to everyone else. So it's a totally awesome example. I had a couple of funny ones I had of this just recently. I just returned from Switzerland a couple of days ago, from traveling around, and there's a pizza shop in Geneva that sells pizzas with gold on the pizza, like you eat the gold, these gold flakes, and I thought that was pretty funny. True. Now it can sound like ridiculous, however there's genius in that ridiculous. It's like because how did I learn about that pizza shop? Well, I was a couple of hundred kilometers away on the other side of Switzerland, and someone told me about it. So, of course, the whole of Switzerland is talking about this pizza shop that's selling pizzas with gold on it. You know, like they're suddenly, they're newsworthy. They're in the news. You know, they've given not just their customers something to talk about, but also the news. They charge a lot for it. I can't remember the exact, but it's just shaving or like some gold dust or something. But it's, yeah. I think it was about 120 euros you pay for the pizza. You know, I'd buy it as a joke, because, like, you know, just to be funny and to get it. And then they... the money that they get's not a joke. You know, they actually get it, and the exposure they get is no joke. You know, it's pretty cool. So just a different, interesting one. And now, and this can be to make yourself different and talk aboutable sometimes too. It can be in your processes. It could be how you answer the phone. One thing to always remember is there's no substitute for very good quality as well. So don't think that this can take away from being, you know, like the best quality. Always you want to be the best quality provider in your space as well. Cool.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Oh, one other one that I just had too was there was a restaurant full of witches that was in Switzerland as well. And as a result of this restaurant, it's full of like witches, dolls, full of witches, little dolls. Okay. And it's like chockers with this. It's full of these witches everywhere, inside and outside, and mannequins of witches. And so, of course, then we're looking for a place to go. And my wife's mum says, oh, let's go, you know, we'll have lunch somewhere special. Then she goes, I know where. And then, of course, you know, we drove for about 45 minutes to get to this place. So just because of this difference, you know, a quirky kind of almost weird thing, it brings people from afar. So another, just an example of having that kind of talk aboutable there. Sometimes it's the things that can seem like a bit of a joke, but they're definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter if people are coming, then it's yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, just before we wrap up, obviously anyone if you want to hear more, obviously about from Eric and things, or check out any of the listeners are, you know, in Vancouver, or any of the listeners, you know, you guys know people in Vancouver, obviously, a lot of our audience throughout the States and Australia and so on, are well aware of where we run our sessions and things, but only pretty new to Canada. So, we've got workshops coming up in Vancouver, and there will be cities all over Canada shortly. So definitely let your contacts, let friends and family know that we're coming to town, and there's workshops already happening now in Vancouver. So the link to check those out is basicbananas.com/Vancouver, or just jump on the site and you can find on the marketing blast off page, because we've got a blast off workshop. Those sessions always sell out and they're always very popular. And always amazing feedback, and we give a hell of a lot of value in those sessions. That's the way we like to do things, you know, kind of over deliver, and those who are, it's a great way for people to learn more about us. And the sessions tend to sell out all the time in Australia because people refer their friends, because we do deliver a lot of value. So if you want to check that out, it's basicbananas.com/Vancouver. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say before we wrap up? Have you got some amazing, like the most insightful, profound thing ever that you could possibly say to someone in closing, Eric?
Insightful. That's a big ask to just throw out the most insightful, profound thing ever. Like I'm working with working against Gandhi and Jesus and stuff.
Maybe, so. Just thought I'd put you on the spot as much as I possibly could.
It's if business owners listening, the same thing they hear again and again and again, but this lesson keeps coming up in my life, and that's just provide as much value as you can where you can, and I think that'll serve you well. So if you're looking at if you're stuck with anything, it's just get out there and start talking to people and helping people out and get the ball rolling.
Awesome. Yeah. Perfect. So. Thank you very much, and thanks for jumping on the show today. We'll be hearing more from Eric in the future. You guys, our listeners, thank you guys, our listeners. We always appreciate, you guys more than anything, and appreciate all of the feedback and the responses and the cool things and messages we get from you guys. So if you've seen value in today's, we'd love it if you leave us a comment, whether it's on iTunes or you send us a message through. We love hearing from you guys. Or you know somebody else who would benefit from today's episode, please do go ahead and share it. We're about making a big difference for as many people as possible, so it always helps us along our journey as well. So, and otherwise, we look forward to seeing you guys at a workshop soon, whether you're in Australia, the States, or you're in Vancouver. Well, thanks again, Eric, and bye for now. Yeah.
Thanks, Krista. We'll talk to you later.
Basic Bananas.